1, 2.
Welcome to Two for the Road, movies with Matt and Adam.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Adam. We are a movie pairing podcast. Every week we will pick a theme, recommend a movie to the other guy based on the theme that he's not seen, watch, and discuss.
And we have a 25-year age difference, so we bring a different set of movies to the table.
And this week it's all about police investigation.
Right. Slow police investigations.
Yeah, I mean, police investigation is the framework, but really it's about intimacy, right?
That's what both these
movies are about.
Yeah, I think they both are very similar.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if, who's the director for the second one? Park Chan-wook?
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he had not seen Clued.
It had a lot of similarities, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. Clued is our first film.
Yep.
Donald Sullivan and Jane Fonda.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, and I was a little surprised. Like, I know Jane Fonda from Barbarella.
Barbarella. I was thinking, I bet you the only movie he's seen by her, with her in it was Barbarella. Is that true?
Well, I'd seen Barbarella. I'd seen They Shoot Horses, Don't They? I remember she was in it.
Yeah.
But, like, I always kind of thought of her as, like, this, like, kind of... I don't know what the right word is. Sex pot?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But she did not... She's supposed to be attractive in this, but I think they purposely made her unattractive.
Right. Yeah, she was... yeah, I think I agree with that. I think that she was once on top, got in trouble. Now she's kind of more down and out. The haircut, I don't know. It was just... You know, it's that early 70s, late 60s
100%.
Judy Carn haircut or something.
Yeah, like, what was it, like the bangs? Like, just like, it just perfectly, like, frames the face. It's like,
right.
It's like, you're just making everyone look like an ape. Right. It's not helpful. It's not an attractive cut.
But what a fantastic acting job she did in this, I think.
I mean, she carries the movie,
right,
for sure.
Yeah. She won Best Actress for it, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a weak field.
Okay. I don't know who else was in it.
I got pulled up real quick. But yeah, so this movie is like I had always heard of this Clute. And I was like, what the hell is Clute?
Right.
It's a word that meant nothing to me. And then I come to find out it's just the name of Donald Sutherland's character. Which
terrible name for a movie.
Terrible.
They could have named it Brie. It would have been a lot better.
Would have been slightly more informative.
Right.
But, like, what would you name it? You know what I mean? Like, without giving it away.
Right.
It's a kind of a hard thing to describe.
It's a definite weird kind of early 70s vibe to it, you know. Alan J. Pakula, the director, directed one of my top 10 movies with all the President's Men. And he's also a producer. He produced Kill a Mockingbird. He's been nominated for 3 Academy Awards, each in a different category. One for writing, one for directing, and one for Best Picture.
Did he win any of them?
No.
Oh, my book, he's a 3-time loser.
Yeah. Was he nominated for this? No, he wasn't nominated for anything like this. But Jane Fonda did win. But yeah, it was just an awful choice of name for a book. I mean, for a movie.
Yeah, it was very... It doesn't tell you anything about the movies about it. But, you know, I guess this was, like, what, 71?
Yeah.
So I guess you could just kind of get away with it back then?
Yeah, I think it was more about the stars. I mean, you could put a movie up, Clute, starring Jane Fonda, you know, Donald Sutherland.
Was he a star then?
He wasn't a star, but he'd been in some, like, he'd been in Kelly's Heroes, which we saw. He'd been in MASH.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he had a really small part in Kelly's, like a weird small part in Kelly's series.
What was his name? Not Odd Job.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, he was just some weird stuff. Yeah, but he, you know, he was the star. He and Elliot Gould were the star of MASH, okay. So which was before this.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it almost seemed like they didn't know what they had mm-hmm. with him in this.
Right.
Because he didn't do much.
Nah, his character was pretty, his affect was pretty low, you know, so he didn't, you know, yeah, it might have been different if they'd let him do his Donald Sutherland, mm-hmm. you know, which is better, very emotional, you know, and get really angry and stuff yeah. like that, you know, or somebody else in the part.
Yeah, imagine like Jack Nicholson playing this
part.
Totally
right.
different movie.
Yeah, totally different movie. But
so, by the way, so this is the 1972 Oscars Best Actress. So she was up against Julie Christie and McCabe in Mrs. Miller.
Okay, we need to watch that sometime.
Okay, I've never even heard of that.
That's Altman.
Okay.
Western with Beatty. Yeah.
Vanessa Redgrave and Mary, Queen of Scots.
Oh, I'm so tired of Queen getting nominated.
Janet Sussman in Nicholas and Alexandra.
That's Bergman, I think. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And Glenda Jackson in Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Yeah, Wakefield.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah. It's a bunch of movies I've never even heard of.
Right.
So that's why I consider Wakefield. Right. Not really trying to throw any shots at old Jane yeah. here.
I think she was terrific. But
I think she was good in this. She does this thing where she screams every line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know if she's hard of hearing or if she thinks other people are hard of hearing, but she has this very like loud
yeah.
stage whisper kind of vibe. And it's like, all right, Jane, just dial it down.
There was a few scenes where with her psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. I think they were winging it on those. I think she was.
You think so?
In those scenes. Yeah. I think she was. I don't think she had any lines. I think, or she did have lines, but didn't say them. I think she just kind of did her own riff on them. So I don't know. Yeah.
She doesn't have any writing credits.
No.
Maybe she should.
Yeah.
But the writing of this movie is incredibly period specific, mm-hmm. I would say. Like, you mm-hmm. can't make this movie even in the 90s, I think.
Yeah, it was two brothers who wrote it.
But it was, like, really progressive, mm-hmm. considering the 1971.
Right.
It was, like, very sexual, very open, and very much about, like, drugs and, like, mm-hmm. like sexual assault. I mean, there's lots of, like, topics that, like,
right.
ooh, like, A lot of stuff's touched on.
Yeah, which I think that had just started in a few years before that, you know, before they didn't talk about stuff like that, you know. Yeah. The feel of this movie reminded me a lot of Dirty Harry.
Really? Why? Yeah. Why say that?
Just the background music, that kind of weird, you know, in the shots, different shots that look like, you know, like the killer was watching from behind a fence, you know, and it was kind of blurry.
Well, this movie and the next one both have that sort of you're being watched vibe.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, literally, both of them literally.
They are being watched. Yeah.
But even without that, you have like, right. even like all the shots, even before you know that mm-hmm. Jane Fonda is being watched, like when she goes home from her audition and she's just hanging out, you have this like very like, it's pulled back at a certain distance where it's like you don't feel like you're part of her world. You're like detached and right. you're just kind of peering in.
Yeah, you're like watching her from across the street, you yep. know, or something. And that's what he was doing or whatever. But yeah, in that scene where she's just, you know, hanging out in her bedroom reading or something and gets a phone call, you know, that's, you know, that was a pretty good scene. It really gave you the creeps, you know.
Well, the whole first part when we get introduced to her, where she's at the audition, mm-hmm. and like, to be quite honest, at first I'm like, which one of these is Jane Fonda? Because they all yeah. look kind of similar, and of course it's the one who talks,
right, right.
And she gets denied the audition. She goes back to her apartment, and like you kind of see like what her life is like, right? Like she calls up someone. She's like, oh, I could use a John or whatever. And she goes home. And first of all, pretty spacious digs for being an out-of-work model slash prostitute.
Right.
Kind of a, you know, modest kitchen, but, you know, open concept.
What does she need a kitchen for?
Right. Yeah. But like, you know, like, she's having a glass of wine. She's reading.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is like, it's a vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, just kind of, you know, like one thing that struck me about this movie is like everyone wears pajamas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back like then, everybody did.
I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then like I said, then she gets that phone call and like kind of like everything just pulls back even further.
Mm-hmm. You know, and at that point, you know, we see her where she lives now, but we didn't know, we don't know where she used to live, which was uptown, you know, as a high-priced call girl. Mm. Now she's hit the skids. And, you know, yeah, big place, but not a great neighborhood. I
don't. Well, you know.
Yeah.
You don't walk around the neighborhood. I mean, you know, it's, you know, not that bad. It's
right,
New York
right.
in the 70s. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah. This, actually, New York looked pretty good. What it usually looks like in the 70s.
It's pre-Serpico.
Right. Yeah.
He hadn't cleaned it up yet.
Yeah, it's yeah. There's not really anybody else in this movie that's famous. I don't think is there.
No. There's like three other people. I mean, Roy Scheider.
Oh yeah, Roy Scheider,
playing like a pimp kind of guy.
Yeah. And there's a little appearance by Edith Bunker, Jean Stapleton. She was on Archie, you know, but she is the secretary for the old. Jewish gentleman in the end.
Okay. I was wondering, like, was she famous? She was already, no?
This was, I think this was made in 1971.
Uh-huh.
And that's when All in the Family came out.
Okay.
So it was like maybe came out at the same time. So.
It was odd. I was like, why is she getting so many lines? Like, all of a sudden, like, it's like, why is she talking so much? She just felt out of place.
Yeah.
That whole scene felt kind of weird.
Well, I think there's couple of those scenes in this movie. But anyways.
All right, let's get into it. So this movie opens in a way that is very 1971, right? It opens with like this dinner party with these people who like we never see again, essentially.
Right.
And like we have the main character, like we don't know what's going on. He's just like these people just chatting about like their like Thanksgiving meal.
And all we can see is Donald Sutherland. Who's wearing a uniform, a police uniform, and he's taller than everybody.
Right. Story of his life, probably. And then we find out that, and then we like the credits are like this like erotic one-sided video, or audio recording.
Right.
Which is also a really interesting way to open it up. You know, it's like, this is the thing that happened. Now you'll figure out like later.
Yeah, it's a video recording of
audio.
Audio recording of Jane Fonda, right, telling a John, you know, just her bullshit, you know, and he's recording it. So, yeah, it kind of grabs you right away. Go, okay, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got this family setting. We don't know if Donald Sutherland's at that dinner alone. Like, you know, we don't know anything about him. And we see the guy at the head of the table and his wife seem very happy. And next thing we know is he's disappeared. You know, and we don't know why. Yeah.
But we do get through that conversation with the police, we do get some details that he's been sending letters to this woman and he's been meeting this woman. And it turns out like he has a whole nother life that his wife had no idea about.
Right. And he's and the letters are really nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like, you know. Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
I hope this letter finds you well. No, it's all like degenerate scumbag shit.
Yeah.
And then Donald Sutherland somehow, I didn't quite get this part. He's picked to like be on the case. He's like a small town cop.
He's a small town cop, works there, knows the guy that disappeared was his best friend.
Okay.
So the the guy who owns the company or runs it or something, he hires Donald Sutherland to be like a private investigator.
Yeah. So more of the story is, if you go to a dinner with strangers, wear a uniform because it might lead to a better gig, I guess. So he heads up to New York to try to like track down like what was going on, who was this guy in contact with, what were like, you know, the leads that could lead to like this person's disappearance.
And they're from, you know, Podunk, Pennsylvania, somewhere outside of Philly.
Yeah, they refer to like the Philly suburbs as if it's just like farmland.
Right, right, right. Like, and okay. Maybe at that time it was.
Right, that was kind of funny. Like, oh wow, okay, like just the place that they're referring to now probably is, you know, super densely populated.
80,000 people, right? 3 miles.
So he's tracking down what's going on. As we said, we meet Jane Fonda separately, mm-hmm. and she's this. She's a aspiring model slash actress slash sometimes prostitute. So I looked up like I did like the money conversion. I'm always curious like what's the dollar conversion. So we see her first meet that one John, and she's like $100 for whatever you want.
Yeah, 50 for regular. I can't remember what they call it. Yeah,
well, I don't know. I don't know.
And then she says, but if you want something extra, that's going to be more.
Yeah, so $100, which roughly translates to about $700. So you do that a couple times a week.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, like you're in the money, right? Once a week, right? And then that's $2,800 in 1971. Right.
That pays for that apartment.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, get all the wine and apples weed. You want. Yeah, weed.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. She's not buying like the nicest of weed.
No.
She's probably getting some regs.
But yeah, that, you know, that is a lot of money, $100.
So
yeah.
She's doing her thing, and she is also she's got to pay for therapy. So she's going to therapy,
right?
Because she's aware that she's a hot mess.
Yeah, she needs help.
Yeah, and that's where like a lot of the movie is. That's like a lot of like the interesting parts of the movie, right? Where mm-hmm. she's sort of this. We mentioned earlier, like the movie's like all about like intimacy, like. There's this like confessional aspect to her therapy where she's just sort of like basically she's narrating how she feels with everything she's doing. And in the future scene, she's kind of like letting you know without them showing. It's like kind of a cheat, but whatever, it works. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting. Like she carried it well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too long. It was like revealing in a way that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, we learned a lot about her. And you know, and throughout the whole movie, we know very little about Clute.
Right.
Nothing.
No. Is he married?
Apparently not. If he is, he's a bastard.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I mean, and even in the end, we don't really know anything about him.
No.
Except he's a small town cop.
Yeah, man of few words.
Right.
So Clute shows up and he lets her know like what he's doing, and he like gets an apartment below hers.
Yep.
Okay.
And then he's recording her phone calls. Right. Somehow.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of like yada 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 the technology thing.
Yeah.
But it worked because I feel like probably at that time all that stuff was fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
So there probably was this little bit of paranoia among the populace of like, am I being recorded? Who could record me? Right. What does that look like? So that was cool. So, you know, Clute, he's you know, letting her know that he's watching her. She gets some like creepy phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So she's somewhat looking to him for protection, but also pushing him away because he's a cop,
right.
He's a square. We get to see some of her acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what's she doing? Like, Joan of Arc with an Irish accent? Is that what
some
that was?
Really bad accent? I guess I don't even know what the play was.
I think she's supposed to be Joan of Arc or something, and then she's like doing this Irish accent. It's what are you doing? Anyway, it's funny.
Yeah.
So he compliments her. So she kind of like lets him in. They end up having sex.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it was at some point he somebody was on the roof, so he. They had this big chase scene we see, you know, through the bowels of this building.
Yeah, what was that? Like, I couldn't get a good sense of, like, where he was in the building.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a whole other building in the building.
Right. There's, like, tunnels or something weird. Yeah, I don't know. So she now sees that he's serious, kind of thing, and I think warms up to him a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But she's still like I read Ebert's review of this, and one of the things he says is, one thing she isn't is a hooker with a heart of gold.
No.
For once.
No.
Because they always were up until then.
Right. She wasn't like,
yeah,
you know, I'm a street hustler, but once we hook up, all of a sudden, suddenly, like, you know, Pollyanna type shit.
Right.
No, she, I mean, they have sex, and she even says, like, she says something like, oh, are you surprised that you lost your virtue? Everyone does, or something,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And she's very cynical about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's very proud that, like, she never, you know, okay, this is a G rated podcast, but she never climaxes with the John.
Right.
You know, so it's a thing she never does, right?
Yeah. Even not even a regular guy, I think she's not. Mm. You know, even if she had a boyfriend, she didn't. Mm-hmm. Of course, her boyfriend was her pimp.
Right. What a life. So they're involved. Clue is still trying to track down, like, what was going on. We meet Roy Schneider, her former pimp. We meet some other characters in the underworld, the underground prostitute ring. And it turns out that whoever... So there was a person who beat up Jane Fonda.
Right.
She doesn't remember who it was. Don't remember what this guy looked like. But that's who they think is the person who was involved with this other guy's disappearance, right?
Right.
Clue doesn't think it was the guy because it was his friend.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks somehow this guy's involved.
Right.
So they kind of like go through the underground, other underworld, whatever. Find some like low-level like junkies. Have some interactions with them. We get some cool scenes of Jane Fonda going to like the... It's not the disco. What would you call that? Those clubs, like
a just go-go club or something? Nightclubs, go-go's. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty wild.
Yeah.
And she's a little loose.
Yeah. I think her name is Lucy, but they all call her Loose. So, yeah. So she's hanging out there. So we kind of get that vibe of like what that scene is like. And eventually it turns out we keep coming back to like this creepy guy who's like overseeing the investigation. But like he's listening to the recording by himself. He's clearly somehow connected.
He's the guy that hired Donald Sutherland.
When the
junkies, so we know long before Donald Sutherland, he's the guy.
When the junkies turns up dead, Donald Sutherland starts to piece things together. He kind of puts two and two together that this guy is somehow involved.
Mm-hmm.
So he feeds him some bad information to see how the guy reacts. The guy takes the bait.
Mm-hmm.
And he is... So Donald Sutherland kind of sets up Jane Fonda in a way.
In a way, yeah.
But she stabs him with scissors, so we didn't see that coming.
Right, yeah. Not the hooker with a heart of gold.
No, she's a hooker with a... Very stabby.
Right.
She's a stabby hooker. So she stabs Donald Sutherland, have a big fight. She storms out. She goes to see this clothing...
garment district guy.
Yeah, this garment.
He's like in his 70s. And all she does for him is just talk and kind of take off her clothes a little bit at a time. And just, you know, he just doesn't ever touch her and stuff. So she feels safe with him.
Right. So he's going there. The bad guy tracks her down, like knows where she's going, tracks her down. I guess Donald Sutherland's on route two. We don't know that yet.
Yeah. Well, he called a psychiatrist. And to see if Bree had called in, and that was the number. Now it turned out to be the...
Yeah, can we pause on the psychiatrist real quick?
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the psychiatrist. I guess she works late hours?
Some do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably especially in New York. I mean...
You go to your receptionist, you say like, what'd she say? Like, I'm in trouble? Like, my life's in danger?
Yeah, she says...
She'll call you when she can. just, you know...
Maybe she hears that all the time.
I guess, but geez.
Yeah.
So, guy shows up. He reveals that he's the one who killed the junkie.
Yeah, and another prostitute.
Mm-hmm. And it turns out that his kink is like, she like opened up his kink world.
Right.
The way that she spoke. He never realized that that's what actually got him off.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why he's after her again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just listens to that recording over and over and it gets him off.
Mm-hmm. Because in her recording, she's basically saying, like, people should do whatever they want to do. Be free to be yourself. Right.
Do you mind if I take off my sweater? You know, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but also, but it's like deeper than that. It's more like, you know, the only way to be free in this world is do whatever the hell you want. And that appeals to him, I guess.
And that's it when he beat her up.
Yeah. There's a struggle. Clute shows up. The dude jumps out the window.
I think so.
Yeah, that was a little unclear. Like,
I thought he was going to take her with him.
No.
Because I had to remember, I hadn't seen this movie since the 70s, I think. I mean, you know, maybe a little later, but I thought, well, oh, yeah, that's right. I think he jumps out the window. But I don't remember if he takes her with him.
No, because we got to have that happy scene at the end where her and Clute are
a couple.
Off to the country?
She's going to go live in the country and guarantee you she'll be back in New York.
Right. We get the voiceover of her talking to a therapist saying, like, this is not going to work. I'm definitely not going to do this. And then we see her doing it. But the whole movie is like her talking to a therapist saying, you know, I want to push this guy away. I don't know why. I have this instinct to, like, destroy things that make me happy.
Which a lot of people do have, you know.
Burn it down.
That's why they end up with assholes.
Not a lot of Clutes out there. Not enough Clutes.
Yeah. Need Clute was a nice guy.
Was he?
I don't know. As long as he wasn't married, I think.
Yeah, but like, not a lot of conversation with Clute.
No.
You and Clute at breakfast? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Maybe he's a good listener.
Maybe he just likes to read the paper.
There you go.
Yeah, he could have been, that character could have been more interesting.
Yeah,
especially with the acting of Donald Sutherland, who was a terrific actor, and you know that I think that part was purposely underwritten, and then they named the movie after him.
Yeah,
which is really wild. I don't know,
Clute. How you doing, Clute? Are you breathing over there?
But all in all, I enjoyed it. It's a good yarn, you know. To get this. We always love seeing New York City, you know. And I thought Jane Fonda was terrific in it. I thought she was really, really good. And, you know, before that she'd done, you know, some comedy, some weird stuff, Barbarella, or, you know, They Shoot Horses, you know. But Cat Ballou is another kind of funny movie with Lee Marvin. But, yeah, this is straight Jane Fonda. I think she carried the movie. You know, if it wasn't Donald Sutherland, if Donald Sutherland hadn't become famous later, you probably wouldn't even remember who played Clute.
No.
You know?
Yeah, if you don't like Jane Fonda, don't watch this movie.
Right.
Because you will hate it, because it's like Jane Fonda in your face, volume turned up to 11.
Right. Oh, well.
But, I mean, yeah, like I said, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Have you ever, we've talked about this, I know, you've seen Dirty Harry or parts of it or...
Maybe parts of it. Like, you never really finished your analogy of why this reminds
me. Well,
it's
just the music and the shots and the dark, you know, kind of weird, especially the music. It was almost very similar. I mean, it was just throughout the whole movie, you know, there's this little kind of weird sounding, I don't know, instrument. I don't even know what it is. But, and then... Just the shots are from behind, and they're kind of, you know, not focused sometimes, that kind of thing. It's just, you know, they came out right at the same time, so I think Dirty Harry was definitely first, but I just thought it maybe Pakulis just took a little from Dirty Harry. Well, you know, why not?
Maybe, but it definitely fit in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like that. Didn't match, you know, it definitely matched the vibe of the movie. Yeah, man. Anything else you want to say before we get to some scores? All right. You want to guess? So IMDb, 27,000 people checking in.
7-1. I think that feels about right.
Yeah, it could be a little higher, maybe. Yeah, I mean,
7-3 maybe.
There's no movie like this.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I always like gotta give like extra point one or two to like original concepts, original idea. You know, like good execution, right? Like, mm-hmm. the movie's not boring at all.
It's not, no, it's definitely not too long. It never bores you, even though it's slow at times, because there's a lot of conversation, you know. But it's so psychological, which is what I liked, you know.
Yeah, one thing that bothered me about this is, like, it's like, when you said that it's so psychological, but it's just her. There's mm-hmm. no, like, we don't ever get, like, Clute's psychology. Like,
right.
What's Clute thinking? Do we care what Clute's thinking? Is that important? I don't know, but.
Yeah, it could have been 10 minutes longer, and we learn a little more about Clute, then maybe it would have been better.
I don't know. Maybe Clute could have finished the sentence.
Yeah, yeah,
it would have been
yeah.
a little bit of a longer movie, but
yeah.
not what's going on with Clute. All right, so that is IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes, tomato meter, 43 reviews.
I want to go 93.
Wow. Critics loving it.
Okay.
And the audience, just 5,000 people checked in.
I will say 78.
80. Yeah, you're undershooting this. I think you're shell shocked with all these review sites. But yeah, the critics are digging it.
Well, I enjoyed it. Yeah, you're right. You watch this and you go, I mean, I likened it to Dirty Harry, but the story is nothing like Dirty Harry or anything. Just the feel of the movie to me was like Dirty Harry. But the story itself is interesting, you know. The guy who actually did it was the one who hired the detective.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often.
And also, like, we get, like, this wife in the very beginning, and we never come back to her at all. Like, just...
Yeah. The only time they come back to her is to ask her for a few questions. That's it. You know, about, how was your marriage? They always ask that shit. Uh-huh. So, yeah. We don't see her again.
It's just an interesting, format. For, like, the way the story was organized mm-hmm. was interesting. Like, starting with those tapes and then, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it jump starts pretty quickly, mm-hmm. you know, with interest to me. It was very interesting early because we see this scene that's almost like 10 years later from ordinary people, you know, mm-hmm. sitting at a Christmas, mm-hmm. you know.
I did think about ordinary people when I was watching this.
Yeah. And it just then you start hearing a tape and you go, what's that all about? Mm. You know, and you recognize it's Jane Fonda. So
this is the critics' consensus. Donald Sutherland is coolly commanding and Jane Fonda a force of nature in Clute, a cuttingly intelligent thriller that generates its most agonizing tension from its star's repartee.
Hmm. Repartee.
Do they have a good chemistry? Like, Jane Fonda's awesome. Donald Sutherland's fine, but them together, they weren't like
Julia Roberts and Richard Gere.
You know, like whatever. Like, they weren't like. I wasn't like, ooh, look at this combo. Yeah.
Well, even that, you know, I mentioned how cutting it was. It is. It's different.
You're right.
It's new and it's different.
And probably at the time, like the way that Jane Fonda is so able to, like she's so self-aware of mm-hmm. like who she is,
mm-hmm.
and you don't maybe at that time you didn't see a lot of female characters who had that sort of command of like themselves,
right? So she knew exactly what she was doing in her line of work. She just knew what she was doing and was good at it,
right? And it wasn't like. She didn't treat like the sex as like dirty,
right.
or fun,
yeah.
or enjoyable. But it was just kind of like it was like acting essentially.
Yeah, it's a job. Yeah. Acting. I think that's pretty good. I think she acted through life
mm-hmm.
with all her different things. You know, I mean, even though she couldn't act.
Yeah. All right. Ready to take a break and come back and talk about Decision to Leave?
Yes.
I have no idea what's going to happen. I can't stay in the city, you know? Maybe I'll come back. You'll probably see me next week.
Oh, 차우 카니거리 그 언젠가 다정했던
All right, we are back. The next movie of the week is Decision to Leave, Park Chan-wook's newest endeavor.
Right.
We like his movies.
Yep. Old Boy was fantastic.
Handmaiden.
That was.
I mean, just those two alone.
Yeah.
You don't
need to name anybody.
Just those. Name. Do those two movies and walk away.
Right.
And you're gonna be. You've left your mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one I thought was not up to those. Up to that level.
I agree with you. I think has some problems.
Yes. But also has some.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's okay. It's not Old Boy, that's for sure. Or,
right.
You know, one of those.
Yeah, like, so, yes. So the biggest question I had watching this movie was, like, why did he make this movie? Like, I didn't, like, he only makes one every couple of years.
Why did he choose this?
Why this? And why in this way? That's
right.
That's always my question with these, like, enigmatic Korean directors who can essentially do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
And like, why this one? What is it about this?
Especially somebody who's not making a movie a year or something.
No.
So, you know.
And he doesn't need the accolades. He doesn't need the money.
Right.
Like, he's going to go down as one of the greatest Korean filmmakers of all time, if not one of the greatest filmmakers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
he's
not in the top 50, but he's in the top 500.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just on those two movies alone.
Right.
Right.
So, I don't know, like...
Yeah, it didn't seem... If you were watching this, you would not know it's one of his movies, that's for sure.
There were some flourishes, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool shots, like...
Exactly. Just like the first movie.
Yeah.
There's these weird kind of, like... shots that you go, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
It was like he was practicing. I kept thinking, what's he doing?
That is a great way to frame it. It felt like practice.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much stuff you're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. But then, like, it didn't really all fit together for anything.
What was that? What, why was that shot? You know, there was a few of those in this movie. I'm going, what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like Spike Lee where you have the same shots every time. You know, it's like he was trying different stuff.
Yeah,
and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't.
Yeah, I feel like, especially for this one, he was playing around a lot with perspective.
Right.
Like, making you feel very far away or very close. There was a lot of, like, actors and actresses, like, very close to the camera in a way that was, like, unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's a lot of, like, stairs.
Right.
There's a lot of someone at the top of stairs, bottom of stairs, and like the way that that's framed. So there's a lot of like perspective and like the way that that shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. But like, I didn't quite get the connection of how it fed into the story.
No. Yeah, it didn't progress the story at all. It just made me kind of more interested in the movie. I'm going, what's he doing?
Right.
You know, because I admire directors who can do different things. I mean, but the story itself was not enhanced by all this.
Well, like, playing with perspective, like, you would think that it would make it kind of confused, like, what's actually happening. But the story is fairly straightforward. Like, we do get a reveal at, like, what I would call the end, which is really, like, mm-hmm. 70% through the movie. Then it
right.
goes on to this second part, which we'll get to that.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, you kind of knew it was coming, but sometimes the direction makes you feel disjointed because the story is disjointed.
Right.
This wasn't necessarily the case, I don't think.
No. Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I was scratching my head a few times and thinking, where is this going? Why is it taking so long to get there? This movie's at least 20 minutes too long.
Oh.
Maybe a lot more.
This movie is both too long and too short.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of those.
Yeah.
You can cut this, add this,
mm-hmm.
you know. And another thing about this movie, there's not the, the violence.
Nope.
That you normally see in a movie like this. And one of his movies, you know.
I mean, even Handmaid.
Yeah,
That the ending scene is just
yeah.
you know, it's just, yeah, it's very violent.
Yeah. I think there's one gang fight. It's at a funeral, you know, where you have about 10 people fighting, but, you know, a couple chase scenes, you know, that weren't very interesting. They're always running upstairs. Listen, they always get on the roof.
Listen, Korea is very hilly. Yeah. There's lots of stairs.
Right.
I did appreciate that, like, they're all exhausted.
Yeah, they were.
Slowly chasing each other.
But we've seen those before. Yeah. You know, we've seen that exact kind of chase scene where, you know, the guy catch a...
yeah. That's what it's like.
Yeah. So...
And like you said, there's no brutality to this.
Yeah, and even the normally what I like about these films too is what takes place within the police station, because it's always very people screaming at each other all the time and yelling. There's very little of that.
This wasn't that kind of movie. This wasn't like a send up of like the government. This was. I don't even know that he even needed to be a cop. I guess he did for the movie to make sense, but
right.
It wasn't about the police. It was about, like, people, right? These two people who somehow became entwined in each other's lives.
Right.
So the story is essentially the police are investigating what they think is a suicide on a mountain.
Or an accident.
Right, or an accident. And, like, what a crazy mountain. Who would climb that? Like, even when the guy's, like, filming the easy way. Like, is that the easy, that's the easy way?
Yeah.
And that is also another thing where, again, it felt like practice, like, Maybe Park Chan-wook just wanted to just do some mountain filming. Right. You know, it kind of felt like that, right?
Yeah.
What can I do on a mountain?
That was really strange. It's not something you would see in a lot of Korean movies, you know, mountain climbing. And you know, that's just hobby. And plus, it just sticks out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. It felt like a thing that really doesn't exist.
Right.
So this guy's dead. They bring in the wife, and the wife is very unusual. First of all, she is a Chinese national.
Mm-hmm. Which is unusual in Korea, right? No,
not really. Okay. I mean, I don't know the percentage, but definitely they exist. And she's not really broken up about the death.
No, she's kind of happy about it.
And they find out that he had abused her. And he branded her just the way he brands his wallet and his cell phone with his initials. And
yeah, he worked for immigration. Mm-hmm. And she showed up as a stowaway on a ship with 30 other people or 25 other people. And he sent all of them back and kept her.
Yeah. And so one of the lead detective is like kind of like smitten by her. There's something about her. She's not hard to look at.
No, she's beautiful. Yeah. And I don't think he and his wife are getting along all that well, you know.
So the weird thing about that, so I watched a version of this with like the subtitles, I guess, were like draft one.
Mm-hmm.
So my subtitles were a mess.
Yeah.
Like pronouns were wrong. It was like I kept pausing it with my wife, who's Korean. I'm like, what the F is going on? I have no idea what's happening.
Right.
Yours was a little bit more cleaned up.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
So the wife... His wife, they live like in different towns, which is not totally unusual,
right?
In Korea, that you know, if you have a better paying job over here, go work over there, because the difference in salary is more than like the rent you pay, even though the rent in his place looked pretty nice.
Yeah, they always have nice places in Korea,
right? Which is definitely not the case. Anyway, so they're kind of once a week married couple.
Mm.
So he just visit her, and she's really big on like we have to have sex at least once a week to keep the vibe going,
even if we hate each other.
Right. So he abides.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, he's meeting this woman. He's watching her. He ends up like kind of like stalking her.
Yeah, he's definitely stalking
to see what's going on. Like, and he's sort of like he's like basically falling in love with this woman he's watching. And she knows she's being watched.
Yep.
So she plays into it. And meanwhile, his partner is angry.
He's so pissed off.
And that's one of the things where I said this could be longer. Like, I don't know. Give the partner any kind of identity.
Yeah, because we see him early on in the movie. We don't see him much later. We just know he's mad about what he's doing, the fact that he buys her this really nice box of sushi and he makes him eat his, you know, it's not even his partner, it's his boss. So, you know, he makes him eat cheap, you know, stuff like that. But we, yeah, that would have been a little, yeah, get more stuff in the police station. That's what I like.
Yeah, more cop stuff.
Right.
Or just anything. And so then, so they develop a relationship, right? Like mm-hmm. he reveals that he's been watching her. She finds out, whatever. It doesn't really matter. And she starts to like get to know him a little bit. And she sees that he has all these pictures of these unsolved cases.
Right.
One of them is hers. And she kind of tricks him into
destroying the evidence.
Yeah.
The pictures and the recordings and stuff.
And so eventually it's revealed that she's the one who killed him.
Right.
Like, he kind of figures it out. He sees this old lady. She helps with this old lady. He sees her phone, kind of puts two and two together, walks through it. Again, that's Park Chan-wook. She's going like, what if I did this?
Right. You know? Right.
Yeah, like, yeah, can I hit a corner three?
Because, yeah, so they will think that her alibi was she was taking care of this old lady. She leaves her phone with her, takes her phone. So they can, you know, they look back and her phone never left that, you know, facility. So, yeah, it was a good ruse.
And so they, you know, kind of, it all comes to a head, right? Mm-hmm. And then he realizes what happens. She kind of confesses. And he just says, like, just take your phone and just throw it in the ocean. And that's the end of their relationship.
Yeah, he's going to let her go. Even, you know, even it kind of destroys him inside.
And no physical intimacy, right?
Never.
I don't even think he ever kissed, right?
I agree. Not the first time they were, you know. First murder.
And also this guy's having, like, insomnia and he's kind of, like, losing his mind. We forgot to mention that.
Right.
And that's part of it. Which is also kind of like not really explored, you know?
Yeah, he explains when, oh, yeah, I wake up every 45 times a minute.
45 times a minute?
Or an hour or something?
I don't know.
45 times an
he's
hour?
He's got these eye drops.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
His eyes are getting redder, but we don't ever really get a sense of like what it's doing to him.
Yeah.
That's when I'm like, all right, this is when the movie should end.
Yeah.
Oh, au contraire.
So we're only halfway through.
Yeah, I have a whole second act going.
Right.
And the whole second act to me was just, kind of garbage.
It was.
So the woman, now we find that she's hooked up with someone else. They're being shooken down by like some Chinese gang.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't care less about any of this stuff that's happening.
Right.
They bump into each other at like a fish market.
On purpose.
Yes. Her new husband turns up dead, and again, this is the same cop has to investigate this one.
She moved there.
Mm-hmm.
Her whole thing was she found out where he moved to because he moved after her case.
Yeah, he moved to where his wife was living.
Right, and he's a cop, but not much goes on. All right, it's not like Murder City where he just left or something. Yeah. You know, so but
he went from like Busan, which is like the second biggest city in Korea, to like Lipo, which is like nothing.
Yeah, so they're living there now, and then the Chinese woman moves there with her new husband because they're trying to get away from the Chinese gangs.
And again, same thing. She tries to like set it up so that, well, she didn't even kill him this time, right?
The gang
killed him.
Yeah.
But it looks like she did it, but she also wanted to get the cops' attention.
Right. Yeah, at the end, that's what, you know, the ending was horrible.
They end up at like a snowy mountaintop, and I'm just like, what is going
her
on?
Mountain. That's her mountain.
Yeah.
And she's spreading her family's ashes there, and at some point her family owned this mountain or something. I don't know. It was just bullshit. It didn't seem real.
It didn't seem real. It didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why is this? It's just that whole thing, that whole second act felt like so just like tacked on, and it didn't add anything.
No.
It made me like the movie a lot less.
You know, I think something more interesting if you at the halfway point you suddenly have the police investigating him for letting her go or something more interesting than what happened.
With Park Chan-wook's movies, like oftentimes like there's a story and then you kind of go back and see it in a different from a different perspective. That's what I was waiting for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I want to see like what do we miss?
Yes.
But that just didn't happen. It went forward in a way that was really unsatisfying.
Right. Yeah. I was so bored the second half. I go, oh God. And I watched it all in one day. It was like, oh my God.
Sorry, man.
No. But I mean, I enjoyed the first half. I thought it had a lot of potential. It just dragged and then it went nowhere. It went to, you know, Palookaville. It did nothing.
I'm always bummed out when like I think this is the movie that like this. I think if people are like, oh, what's a Korean movie I should watch from 2022? This is probably the one that people watch. Mm-hmm. And what a bummer, man, because it's not that good.
Right.
I don't know what's better. Like, I don't have like a Rolodex of other Korean films to recommend, but maybe it's just like a down year. For them. This is like if this is the signature film. Ugh, Palookaville.
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
No,
but it's not.
We've seen a lot worse on this show.
It didn't hit like our expectations.
Yeah, it wasn't as good. It was too long. It was long. The ending was. We didn't even talk about that. That was like, what was that?
Yeah. Ending's terrible.
Yeah.
We get like this weird short-haired female cop.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you here? Like, it's I don't know. Yeah. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, who wasn't very popular with the other cops. I don't know. There was all this little stuff that didn't really matter. Like, why, you know, that? And just the ending where you were supposed to believe that she just wants him to think about her the rest of his life.
Right.
And that she's satisfied with that.
Right.
That's what I got.
Yeah, yeah. That true love is destroying someone.
Right.
Essentially.
He's going to be obsessed with her for the rest of his life because she's not going to be found.
Yeah.
You know, she took care of that, I guess. I guess that was her. And that ending was just awful. She dug a pretty big hole pretty quickly.
I was saying the same thing. I was like, there's no way she's digging a hole.
Yeah,
she'd
be
exhausted.
And he's on his way the whole time, and she's digging this big hole with, you know, it's like, oh, man.
And also, wouldn't she just float up?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
They'd find her floating in the whatever, the sea, you know, whatever. But, the ending was awful.
Yeah, her decision to leave at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty decisive.
Yeah,
the ending was terrible. The whole second half, not a great thing. But the first half, so like going back to like connect it with like the previous movie we talked about, Clue, there was a lot of cool stuff about like what is intimacy?
Yeah.
Like if you're watching someone, is that a level of intimacy versus like your wife who you see once a week? You know, there's a lot of interesting ideas. Like those threads could have been pulled a little bit more.
Yeah.
I just don't think they really got there.
No. Oh, not at all. Yeah, I mean, a movie with a lot of promise, but, you know, we were lied to at the end, you know. But I don't know. Normally I love watching these Korean films, and this was, you know, this was okay, but normally I come away very excited, you know.
This one's
nothing.
Not so much.
Yeah.
But there are some cool shots.
Yeah,
you know,
there's some practice.
And the soundtrack, also interesting.
Yep.
All right, Matt, you want to guess the scores? 17,000 people checking in. I think a lot of South Koreans checking in here.
I think so. 7-1?
7-3.
It feels more like a 7-1.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 7-7-1 is probably what this deserves to be.
Yeah.
First half, 7-5. Second half, 6-5.
Yeah.
All right, Rotten Tomatoes. We got, 188 critics. On the tomato meter.
Wow.
This must be doing the festival circuit or whatever.
82?
No. It's 94.
Are you kidding me?
What did they see that we didn't see?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm never going to watch it again, so I don't really know, but.
No. No. Like, that's the perfect way to say it. Like, never watch it again. There's no reason to ever watch this again.
No, not at all.
And the audience score, only 250 people.
Okay.
So that tells you.
84.
88.
Yeah.
So, wow, I don't think I've ever seen like the audience and the critics such a close number. Like, no. Just a.
Well, that's a brand new movie, too.
Yeah, it is brand new. All right, this is the consensus. If Decision to Leave isn't quite on the same level as Park Chan-wook's masterpieces, this romantic thriller is still a remarkable achievement by any other metric.
I don't think so.
First half, great.
Mm-hmm.
And then just that second half is so unsatisfying.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you feel like you're going somewhere, and then you're just like, oh, what? You're digging a hole in the beach?
Yeah.
Like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
The whole wrap-up was just what led to it, and everything was just, you know, not good. The whole, the way she, you know, when she, after she finds her husband dead, she cleans him up and does all that, you know, that's just to get his attention.
Mm-hmm. I think, and again, there's a lot of cool, like, it looks mm-hmm. great, mm-hmm. but it's just dumb the second half.
Right.
All right. So next week.
Yep.
We are doing. What, like a teeny bopper, dark teenagers.
Let's call it that.
Okay.
With River's Edge.
And I'll have you watch Bully.
Okay.
All right, cool. All right, let's get out of here.
Bye.
Peace.
He's a Philistine.
Philistine.
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
And I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I have not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
So, Jane, what you do here in effect is count boners.
It's fun.